The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here with Craig Forsyth, looking ahead to the final day of the Cheltenham Festival. It is, of course, Gold Cup Day coming up on Friday, and we've got seven top-class races to preview on this podcast. We're going to go through all seven. We're going to focus on the bigger ones, if you like, the Triumph Hurdle, the Albert Bartlett, and the Gold Cup. But we're going to go through all seven races. Because, Craig, I like to make you work for your money. How are you?
Yeah, grand, Alex. So far, so good. Looking forward to the final day. It's been a fantastic festival.
It has. We're recording this before racing on Thursday. But on what we've seen so far, if Friday can live up to that, then we should be in for a cracker. We'll dive straight into the action, Craig. No time to waste. And we'll start with the 130, which is, of course, the Triumph Hurdle. 17 runners down to go to post for this one. We price it up like this. So, as I say, we're calling this midday on Thursday. Peace & Co. 5-2. Beltor and Hargam at 6s. Petit Parisien at 7s. 9s for DiCosimo and Top Notch. And 14s or bigger the rest. Big field for this one, Craig, compared to some of the other novice events that we've seen so far this week. But not lacking quality in any way, and it's a fascinating renewal, isn't it?
It is. I think it's a really good renewal. It's probably one of the strongest Triumphs we've seen for a number of years now. And I think the good thing about it is, Alex, that the race looks to be dominated by British runners. I think Willie Mullins and the Irish contingent, the form of their juveniles, look slightly below what we've seen from the English horses this year. So, I think the likes of Nicky Henderson and those have in particular with three strong runners, could notch another win for the UK here.
Yeah, of course, he's got Peace & Co, the market leader. He's got Hargam and he's got Top Notch. That's three of the first six in the betting. I suppose that the fly in the ointment potentially is Beltor from an unfashionable stable. Wouldn't have the pedigree you wouldn't say to go and win a Triumph Hurdle, but his two performances to date have been mightily impressive. And it seems a completely different horse from the one that I saw winning at Redcar at the end of September. Quite a journey for that one.
He beat that famous horse Valentino Oyster that day, didn't he?
A solid yardstick. Tracy Wackett's horse.
Yes. Yeah. And here he is lining up in the Triumph after two very impressive performances, it has to be said. And the thing I like about the horse is that he's ran through the line very strong on both occasions. Albeit, speed tracks, Ludlow, Kempton, and looking back to the flat in that Redcar victory, again, you would class that as a flat fastish track at Redcar. So, the only thing that he has to now go and do is replicate that form on a more galloping, stiff track, which the new course will be in operation on Friday. I think he still needs to take a little step up. His flat form and what he's achieved so far, I think he could easily hit the frame, but I think he'll come up a little bit short in the Triumph, Alex.
Okay, Peace & Co, the favourite?
I do like him. He looks a real class horse. I can see this horse, going on to be a future champion hurdler. He made a tremendous impression at Doncaster on his debut for Nicky Henderson. I mean, that race is working out well. Starkitect ran a real brave race in the Fred Winter on Wednesday. So that gives the form a solid look. He didn't go forward, I would say, from there at Cheltenham, but he matched that form from Doncaster when he beat Karazak on that occasion. What he needs to do is he needs to settle a little bit better. But they're going to go a much faster gallop than they did at Doncaster and on his last start here on Trials Day. And I think the faster early pace will help him settle and relax. And I think he's the class act. I really do. I think we've got a potential superstar in the making here and a potential future champion hurdle winner.
Okay. As for stablemate Hargam, what do you make of his chances?
He isn't the biggest of horses, but he's done particularly well since moving to Nicky Henderson's. He travelled well on his debut at Cheltenham, behind Golden Doyan. He cruised up on that occasion and he just blew up in the closing stages. You know, he built on that next time again. And, you know, same similar form lines, Two-Piece and Co. beating Karazak. But, you know, I thought he excelled last time on a speed track at Musselburgh. You know, I think that brought out the best in him.
Yep.
So I can see him cruising into contention here and then, you know, just coming up a little bit short up the hill.
Okay, fair enough. So what are we going to go for in the Triumph?
I think Peace & Co is the one they all have to beat. I think the biggest danger could come from Top Notch.
Okay.
You know, he's a horse that will be staying on strongly. He isn't the flashiest horse in the world, but, you know, he's a grinder.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds for pressure, as we've seen from him at Ascot and Haydock on his last two starts. And, you know, Peace & Co is the likely to be the stronger traveller. But Top Notch under Darryl Jacob will be pushing him all the way. But I'm going to go for the class here and Peace & Co.
Okay, Peace & Co 5-2. Top Notch, though, a good each-way bet at 9-1. Next up is the 205. It's the County Hurdle, a Grade 3 contest. 2 miles and one furlong trip for this. 26 runners down to go to post. As I said, we're not going to go into too much depth on this one because, well, let's be honest, we could talk about this one for a very, very long time. Plenty arriving here in good form. It always takes a really good horse to win this kind of race. You don't really get many handicap plots, if you like. It's quality horses running in a handicap. Which one takes your eye here, Craig?
It's got to be Quick Jack for Tony Martin.
Okay.
You know,
I say that, and then Tony Martin, famous for handicap plots, is here.
Yeah.
But he is a classy animal, isn't he?
He is indeed. You know, we haven't seen the horse over hurdles for quite some time now. You know, at Leopardstown, In January 2014, just over a year ago, was mm-hmm. the last time we seen him. But, you know, he looked very impressive the day he won at the November meeting of that season. That was off a mark of 113. You know, he comes here off 136. But in the meantime, you know, he's taken his form on the flat to another level. You know, he's now rated in the high 90s. And he was third, of course, in the Cesarowicz last year off a mark of 94. So he could still be well handicapped on a mark of 136. The big question is, when was he going to reappear this year over hurdles? You know, I thought he was a horse that could possibly, you know, have went for the Greatwood earlier in the season.
Mm-hmm.
They've kept him fresh. You know, he's coming here after a 153-day break. Obviously thinking he's very well handicapped, protecting his mark, and I think he'll prove hard to beat.
Okay, Quick Jack, 6-1 at the time of recording. Favourite from 9-1, the Game Changer, 12-1, Ebony Express, of course, going for the William Hill bonus that we put up following the Imperial Cup win, and then 14s for a whole host of others, and bigger the remainder. Next up is the Albert Bartlett, coming up at 2:40. It's a Grade 1 novices hurdle, 3 miles the trip for this one. 20 runners going to post. You're going to need to stay, Craig, even though the ground is drying up. Well, it has been throughout the festival, hasn't it? I'd imagine with this many runners, this will be a real test of stamina. But which horse do you think has the requisite class to stamp his authority on the 2015 Albert Bartlett?
My best bet of the day runs in this for the final day. And it's Nigel Twiston Davis's Black Lion. Horse alike, you know, he's only had a couple of tries at 3 miles under rules,
mm-hmm.
and right from his hurdling debut back in September at Perth, which was over 2.5 miles, immediately, you know, after that race, I thought he's crying out for a step up to 3 miles. His first attempt at the trip came at Cheltenham back in December. He was very impressive on that occasion, winning by 11 lengths, and then last time at Doncaster, you know, Black Lion and Zero Shades of Grey went at it from a long way out. You know, they took each other on, they started racing, and Black Lion just got the better of Zero Shades of Grey in the closing stages, and Karachi Apache came on the far side and picked his pocket. And it was, you know, I thought the battle with Zero Shades of Grey had taken it out of him, mm-hmm. and set the race up for a closer. But I still upgraded that performance. And that was, like I said, that was just his second try at the trip. You know, I think he's ready-made. He's an experienced campaigner. And I think that's what you need in this race, is a couple of the horses, you know, that to the head of the market here. I've only had a couple of starts over hurdles, and they're lacking in experience, such as Black Hercules.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that could find them out, where Black Lion, he's a battle-hardened campaigner. And I do like his chances in this.
Okay. I'll just run you through the prices for the Albert Bartlett. Black Hercules is 4-1. No More Heroes 9-2. 10s for Martello Tower and Value at Risk. 12-1 Black Lion at the time of recording. And 14s for Karachi Apache, Out Sam, Thomas Brown. 16s or bigger the rest. So Black Lion the pick. Main danger, would you make it Black Hercules, or are you not convinced?
I'm not convinced by Black Hercules at all. I know we're looking for a stay here at 3 mile, but he lacks a change of gear for me. He looks rather one-paced and... You know, I'm not a Black Hercules fan. You know, Graham Wiley hasn't hidden in the preview night that it's probably his best chance of a winner at the festival, but he hasn't done it for me. But I'm going to stick to Island for the danger, and I think Martell Tower screaming out for a step back up to this trip. 2.5 too short at Leopardstown last time when he finished behind Outlander, but prior to that he had beaten the same horse over 3 miles at Limerick. So I think he's definitely crying for a step back up to 3 miles, and Martello Tower's the biggest danger to Black Lion for me.
Okay. Next up is the Gold Cup, coming up at 3:20. 3 miles, 2.5 furlongs the trip, 18 runners going down to post. And it's a Gold Cup. Well, last year's Gold Cup has been crabbed endlessly for the form of it, but plenty of the horses that ran well last year returned this year. So if you are of that opinion, then there's certainly enough grounds to take them on, because there's some interesting new contenders as well. So Liliaco Conti is 3-1. Jack Adam and Hollywell at 8s. Coney Gree and Many Clouds at 9s. Carlingford Lock and Road to Riches at 10s. 12s for last year's winner, Lord Windermere. 14s for the 2013 winner, Bobsworth. 20 Smad Place. 25s or bigger the rest. I think this is one of the most fascinating renewals in quite a long time, Craig. Not necessarily the best in terms of quality, but there are a number of horses here that you'd love to own. Whether you'd be running them in this race, i.e. Coney Gree, or not, is another question. But where's your allegiance going to lie in the feature race on Friday?
I think it would be easier to say which ones have little chance than which ones have a big chance of winning here, Alex. Because there's so many, isn't there? I mean, what did we have in line at the last year? 5 horses?
Yep.
You wouldn't be surprised if there were 7 or 8.
That is true.
In line at the last this year. It's so competitive. I'm going to go with Road to Riches. I've been impressed with him this year. And, you know, great performance in the Lexus. What I liked about that when he beat on his own was, you know, the way his stamina came into play late in the race. And I think stepping up another 2 furlongs in trip will be right up his street. And, you know, you need a grinder for this race. A horse that stays particularly well. And I think Road to Riches is a much improved performer. They've gotten back on track this year. And that Lexus win was a good, solid run. But, you know, there's dangers aplenty. I could name 5 or 6 horses that are likely to make him go. The likes of last year's winner, Lord Windermere, who has actually produced 2 better performances this year in the Lexus and the Hennessy than he did 12 months ago. Mm. So, you know, arguably, he comes into the race a better horse than he did last year. So he has to have a chance. You know, I'm very, very impressed with the young horse, Jack Adam, winning the Thyestes. The faster they went that day, the better he jumped. He's a real exciting project. You know, Carlingford Lock, very impressive winner of this year's Hennessy. Mm-hmm. Conny Gray, I think they probably made a mistake not going for the RSA.
I agree.
You know, they probably bumped into a future Gold Cup winner if they had have gone for that race in Don Polly. But, you know, I have to think, you know, a novice, he's going to be up against it. Hollywell, where do we draw an end to the list of dangers?
Well, there are plenty that you could see getting involved at a price, or that you could say that's a feasible each way chance. I mean, you look at 33-1, the likes of On His Own, you'd think,
yeah,
you know what, if that and the Giant Bolster consistently runs well here, if they were to get in the frame, it would not be the biggest shock in the world, and they're a big enough price. But, you know, the class acts are towards the head of the betting. It's whether they turn up on the day, and in recent years that hasn't been the case.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I have to say, at the current prices and the anti-post prices, Silviaco Conti has been too short, because it's more competitive than the market suggests. He did lead jumping after the last year, but he was reeled in on that occasion and eventually finished 4th. Now, for me, his King George run was to the pound, to the same level as it was 12 months ago. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's any worse or any better than he was last time around, and he wasn't good enough then. So again, I can see him running a real brave race, but I think he's going to come up short again.
He's officially rated £7 higher than anything else in the field. Road to Riches is the second highest rated.
You know, I think I wouldn't take those ratings at face value, mm-hmm. because there's horses that haven't run in, you know, the races to earn such a rating, where he's obviously won a King George again, Road to Riches. Will he be next best at 167?
He is. 167. So 174 Sylvania Conti, 167 Road to Riches, 166 for Bobsworth, Coney Gree, Don Cossack, and 165 Many Clouds.
If it were a handicap, Alex, and Road to Riches was getting £7 of Paul Nick, you would be all over him, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You would be absolutely all over him. You know, like I say, I wouldn't take those ratings at face value, and I'm going to stick with Road to Riches and what is such an exciting renewal of the Gold Cup.
Okay, Road to Riches, the pick in the Gold Cup. Next up at 4 o'clock is the Fox Hunters. The same trip, 24 runners going to post for this one. That's 3 miles, 2.5 furlongs, I should say. A Class 2 event, often, I won't say a lottery, Craig, because it's normally a prominent horse that does win it, but a little harder to find the winner of, shall we say. So, shall we keep this one slightly more brief?
Without wanting to huff Gareth Topham...
All over you.
Can we put the Gold Cup on and watch it again?
Well, it is one of those races. It's personally, I find it fascinating. I really enjoy watching the Fox Hunters, but there are people that don't, and that's fair. Just like the cross-country races. I love watching the cross-country race. Yesterday was brilliant. But there are people who go, oh, not for me. That's fine, because it means that you might be able to find a bit of value that no one else has found. Yeah. You know, you're getting a decent price about something. What would you be having a bet on here if you were to have a bet?
Current event, I was impressed with him at Musselburgh. You know, he had his stamina to prove that day, and he stayed very well, albeit on a flat, sharpish track. But he did stay very well on that occasion, and he looks ready-made for this kind of challenge. As you said, it isn't one of my favourite races. It isn't a race I'd be getting involved in, but I was impressed with current event, so I would make him the selection.
Okay, fair enough. Next up is the 440. It's the penultimate race of the 2015 festival, and it's the Martin Pipe Conditional Jockeys Handicap Hurdle of the extended 2.5 mile trip. 24 runners going to post. Obviously, with conditional jockeys, you can often focus on who the better ones are and start there, although in this one, there are very few weak ones, inverted commas. Just a lot of good ones and the occasional excellent one. In terms of horses, then, we price it up like this. 7-2 for Rade de Franc, 7-1 Le Mercury, 10-1 for Kilalta Vic, 12s for McKinley and For the Fun of It, 14 to Damie and 16s or bigger the rest. This favourite, Craig, has been quite well touted, I believe. I certainly know that Andy Holding has been bigging this one up. Not like Willie Mullins needs any more winners at the Cheltenham Festival, but could this be another one?
He's targeted this race in the past, hasn't he? Won it last year with Don Pauly, Serta Shams, another previous winner for him.
And for Connections colours. As well, yeah.
Yeah, so he's got a solid chance, but do you want to back a horse at that price in a maximum field handicap at the festival? You know, 24 runners, I think there's value elsewhere, to be honest. There's nothing I really want to nail my colours to the mast to at this stage, but I'm going to give you three to look at. On Tour of Evan Williams, very, very progressive this season, and certainly wasn't disgraced in the Betfair Hurdle, finishing eighth. Actival, who was placed in that race, you know, boosted that form, you have to say, in the Coral Cup by finishing third. So, you know, I think he can build on his... He's pleasing run in the Newbury race, and I think stepping up and trip, you know, back up to 2.5 miles and further will certainly play to his strength. Shelford is a horse I can see bouncing back from his fall in the Tolworth last time. You know, very good fourth in the Ladbroke at Ascot. Prior to that, he had won a novice hurdle at Chepstow, and he followed up in the Silver Trophy. So, you know, I still think he could be ahead of the Assessor on a mark of 139. And a dark one. You know, he was sent off 9-2 favourite for this race last year after an easy victory at Kempton. We haven't seen the horse since, but he's still well handicapped on 135. It's Nicky Henderson's Full Shift. So those would be, you know, three against the field. And there must be decent prices, Alex, on your odds there.
Full Shift is 16s. On Tour is 16s. And Shelford is 20s.
Yeah, so, you know, there's three against the field that, you know, if you backed all three, and hopefully if one of them was lucky enough to win,
yep,
then we would make a nice little profit.
Okay. The final race is the 5:15. It is the AP McCoy Grand Annual Handicap Chase for the Johnny Henderson Challenge Cup Grade 3 contest. Extended 2 miles, the trip for this one, 24, going to post once again. And, of course, the name, the race named after AP this year. It's his final ride at the festival, and he has chosen to ride Ned Buntline for Noel Mead. And, of course, as you'd expect, Heads Affairs, 4-1. 9-1 for Eastlake, who you suppose he could have ridden. Some maybe a little bit surprised. Obviously, Paul Carberry now takes a ride on Eastlake. He has got on well with Ned Buntline in the past. Next Sensation and Blood Cartel are 10s. 16s for Claret Cloak, Solar Impulse and Ted Veal. 20s or bigger the rest. Is it going to be the perfect swan song for Mr. McCoy here, Craig?
I've got to say no. You'll okay. probably be well
you're
over
a,
bed.
You're a party pooper, aren't you?
I am. Sorry. I'm really sorry, AP. But, you know, Ned, he went very close to winning last year, didn't he? He finished second. He was staying on strongly at the finish on that occasion. And, of course, Eastlake, I think, finished sixth in that race. So two horses with previous form in the race at the festival, which is key, Alex. So, you know, I wouldn't rule them out, you know, be too harsh on them, saying they definitely won't win.
But at the same time, Claret Cloak was third and Next Sensation was fourth last
year.
So it does all tie in.
And Next Sensation, you have to say, went off a little too hard in the early part of that race. So, you know, I wouldn't say all four are not going to win this year. I think they've all got solid chances. But I think Turnover Savola could be well suited to a fast-run handicap here. He does need to, you know, maintain a sound level of jumping because he has a habit of hitting the odd fence, which does cost them. And you can't afford to lose ground when they're going such a strong gallop in a race like this. But he's well handicapped. He's a second season novice. He's gotten here off a lovely way. And we've got a lovely hold up jockey, what I would describe as a hold up jockey, and Dennis O'Regan to coax the horse into the race and hopefully produce him at the right time. And I think he'll go well each way. Yet to be out the frame this year.
Okay, Turnover Savola then, 25-1 as we speak for the Grand Annual. Would be a nice way to close off the festival, wouldn't it? What's your best bet then on the final day? Would it be Black Lion, Craig?
It would be Black Lion in the Albert Bartlett. I like an experienced campaigner that has shown he will relish and stay the trip well. And hopefully he won't go for home as far out as he did at Doncaster and get involved in a battle.
Okay, plenty of food for thought then for the final day of the Cheltenham Festival. Best of luck with all of your bets on Friday, Craig. And the same to you, listeners. Hope you've enjoyed the festival this year and hopefully you can end on a winning note.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.